Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, good morning.
How's Ruth
Happy
doing?
Wednesday. I'm just fine. How's Monty?
Doing better.
Better and better every day.
Yep.
I've got my new Blaylock report.
Oh, you did? I should be getting mine then, I think.
I wouldn't think I would get mine before anybody. I think on the island you get them last.
Nope, nothing for Dr. Blaylock. Oh, it'll get here. True that.
Yep. What have you been doing?
Pretty good. Got a busy day. How'd the call go? Good call?
How did which call go?
This call yesterday morning. I had to leave right after I talked to Ken.
Oh, that's right. Very well.
To it on the. As soon as Steve gets it up, I'll listen to it on the.
I'll send you the notes also.
Oh, okay. You know, you take great notes. Why don't you take over the.
You know what? I'll take the notes and I'll send them to you.
That'd be great. I'd appreciate it.
Good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Good morning,
How's
Steve.
Everybody?
We're doing fine.
Good. Were you able to get the successful recording of Monday's call?
I did, Steve.
Oh, cool. How can we, can you get Dennis to send that to me?
Okay, I'll ask him to.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
I also find out how.
Okay. I've got Tuesday's call up, so I heard you and Monty talking about something about you listened to something when I got it up, but I don't know which. Is that Monday or?
Yesterday's, thank you.
Oh, yeah, it's already up. Great.
Thanks, Steve.
You're great, Steve.
Thank you.
That's for sure.
We love you guys so much.
Wow, I can't believe you do this. It's just such a, it really is a great service, Steve. So then if I send out notes, what I'm hoping to do is just take enough notes so that people will get in and listen to those on these sites.
Appreciate it.
Good morning, I'm here.
Did you get my reply about your slides, Nanu?
I did. I can work with them all. If they're up there, that's fine. I don't know if you need to pull them. Have you already pulled them?
Yep, they're all there.
Okay.
However, we have all these people I can hear coming onto the line, but only you and I are on the website. Is everybody having a hard time getting on the website again? Oh, there's Monty.
This is Nancy. I'll be on in a moment.
Okie doke.
And this is Donna. I won't be on the web part of it. My computer is doing a security check.
Oh.
But I'm here.
Can you minimize the security check?
Well, I do this spy thing because I'm getting all the cookies and all that stuff off. So I do it every morning. And I should have started earlier, and I didn't.
Oh, okay. Well, good morning, everybody. As Mary Lou, Don and Mary Lou, today, and we're excited about that because you always have good and interesting things. So, Mary Lou, it's all for you, ready for you.
Okay, well, good morning, everybody. I never know until the week or two before exactly what I'm going to talk about, but I have this new book by Dr. Bruce Fife that I've got my nose into. Eat fat and look thin, a safe and natural way. And I kind of thumbed through it at first, you know, and glanced. That's the way I read a book at first. And I came to the chapter on water and drink more and weigh less. And I thought, you know, I don't know if we've talked about water in depth on this call very much. Maybe you guys did while I was on vacation. Did you?
Nope.
No, not really.
Okay. So I know Ruth and I have done some water WebExes in the past, and so I knew that she had some slides all ready to go. And when I started reading this, I thought, holy mackerel, we are probably not drinking. I know I am not drinking enough water, even though I've got my little pennies out there, and I have taken and divided my weight in half, and that's how many ounces of water I'm supposed to take a day. So I have my pennies, I won't tell you how many, are laying out, and I move them from, I have one of those little double spoon, you know, where you lay your spoons when you're cooking, and I put all my pennies on one side, and then as I get a glass of water, I move them over to the left side. So hope by the end of the day, I hope all the pennies have been moved. And then when I started reading this book, this chapter in this book, I found out that I'm probably still not even drinking enough because they're recommending in here that we drink a quart of water for every 50 pounds. Now, so I have not been drinking enough. But I want to go over some of the stuff that is in this book. And then I want to talk a little bit about, well, Ruth's got some wonderful slides here, and what kind of water that we should be drinking. Okay, so in the book, this is, again, by Dr. Bruce Seitz. He says that of all the food and beverages we consume, water is by far the most important. It contains no calories and provides no energy. It's considered our most vital nutrient. We require a constant source of water throughout the day in order to maintain bodily functions and to sustain life. Ruth, have you got that slide that shows the dehydration?
There it is.
Okay. Okay, that's the good one to have. Okay. So we can live for several weeks or even months without other nutrients, but if completely deprived of water, we would die of dehydration in a matter of days, and I think we all know that. Lack of adequate water is in essence a death sentence. 60%, he said, is water, and every function inside the body is regulated by and depends on water. And Ruth put some of them up there. It must be available in sufficient quantities to transport nutrients, oxygen, hormones, other chemicals to all parts of our body. Lubricates our joints, protects our brain, facilitates digestion, elimination, provides the medium in which all chemical reactions in the body occur. It's so important to the proper function of the body that even a small reduction from normal can have a dramatic effect on our health. If we don't drink enough, we're dehydrated. I think we all know that. Severe dehydration can lead to death. Chronic low-grade dehydration creates a state of stress that interferes with normal body functions, leading to tissue deterioration, pain, and disease. Many people are overweight because they don't drink enough water. You know, a lot of people think that they're drinking, they count all of their fluids. I know that's not us on this call. We know the difference between other fluids and water, but so many people think they're getting enough. And I, one place in here, it says that the average woman drinks 2.5 cups of water a day. 2.5 cups. That's not very good. Okay, so we've got our chart. Well, we don't need that up there today, but we need to be measuring out how much water we should be drinking. Dr. Batmangalajad, is that his name, Ruth? I think that's where you got a lot. The man that wrote that your body's many cry for water.
Oh.
Your body's many cry for water. Dr. Batmangalajad, I think his name is very, very hard to say. He was in prison in Iran back in 79, and he was in this prison that only holds 600 people, but it quickly overflowed to 9,000 inmates, and he was supposed to take care of them, and they didn't have any medical supplies. And the amazing thing was he found that he could cure, he was curing people all kinds of problems just by giving him water. And he's written this book. In 3 years, he treated countless numbers of patients for a variety of illnesses using... the other thing that I found out in here is that we all know that dehydration causes damage to our cells, but as we get older, we're dehydrated because we're not thirsty, but as we get older, we don't have this urge, I guess it is. We don't feel that, don't think that we're thirsty, so we just naturally quit drinking water. Well, I know from my mother and my mother-in-law, they don't drink hardly any water, and you both have heard me talking about how they both have severe dementia. Our brain, our entire body needs water. Okay. He's saying in here, Dr. Batman Jelly says that we should drink 2 to 3 quarts a day. This is the amount that our body loses from perspiration, respiration, and elimination every day. So this is the minimum amount we should consume each day. And if you're chronically dehydrated, then you need to increase this amount to replenish your reserves. Every item of food you eat or beverage you drink must be diluted and processed by the body. We give it 10 chemicals that must be processed just like any other food, and therefore can actually dehydrate the body, some more than others. Now, coffee, alcohol, and soda are some of the very worst, but even sugary fruit juice can have a dehydrating effect. Sugar requires additional water to digest. Have you ever gone to a party where all the things they have out there is desserts? And if you overeat on those, have you ever noticed that you get really, really, really thirsty? Well, that's why, because sugar is requiring additional water to digest. He goes on and on and on about how we do need about 3 quarts of water every day, and only water hydrates the body and will cure dehydration. So, minimum amount, just to maintain your current level, is 1 quart for every 50 pounds body weight. Talked a lot about chronic dehydration, and that is something that doesn't happen in a day. It's a slow process that occurs over weeks, months, and years. And consequently, rehydrating the body is not a one-time event. You can't drink a gallon of water and cure chronic dehydration. The body is a sponge, isn't a sponge that immediately soaks up the water. The body must adapt and adjust to increase in water consumption. Injured tissues and cells must have time to repair themselves. He goes on to say that, you know, we okay, early signs of dehydration again. I'm sure I get my okay. Flushed skin, headache, fatigue, dry mouth and eyes, dizziness, burning sensation in the stomach. If this is allowed to continue, symptoms progress, difficulty in swallowing, clumsiness, shriveled skin, sunken eyes, dim vision, painful urination, muscle spasms, coma, ultimately death. Severe dehydration can kill within a matter of days and even hours. But what is the dehydration, what's less well known is that chronic mild dehydration also kills, but at a much slower pace, and it is, in a way, it's worse than severe dehydration because it strikes without warning. Chronic mild dehydration is a silent killer. It quietly sneaks up on the victims and slowly but steadily drains the lifeblood of them. Now, symptoms don't suddenly appear, cause extreme discomfort. They're subtle, and therefore they're often ignored. Symptoms like arthritis, constipation or back pain come on so gradually that they're ignored and mistaken for aging or stress. Victims continue on with their lives, often masking the symptoms with drugs, never suspecting they are slowly dying of thirst. Okay, have I read enough doom and gloom? Anybody got any questions about any of this stuff?
Mary Lou,
yes.
You send out that printed material so that I can have that?
Well, I think Ruth's slide here, yeah, I would have to scan it. It's in a book. I've highlighted this book. Just terrible. I mean, it's... I knew water was important, every time somebody drinks something other than water, they have to, you know, drink more water, and we are not drinking enough. The nice thing about our prime ag water, you know, some people say, oh, gee, that water goes right through me. If I drink too much water, I'm just running to the toilet all the time. Well, that's because of the type of water that they are drinking. You know, Neekin's water, prime ag, our waterfall, and our water bottle, they put the minerals back into our water. So oftentimes I've heard people say once they start drinking our good, pure, clean prime ag water, that the water doesn't go through them as much. You know, they're actually, I believe, taking care of this slow, chronic, mild dehydration that has been going on for them for years and years and years. So we need to really... to talk to people more about prime egg. Yes, we have some.
Mary, we don't have a couple of questions. Or one kind of question. The other night I left my water bottle. I thought I'd take it with me, and I had left it sitting here at home. And we went to dinner, and so I was drinking the water at the restaurant, and it seemed like I just got thirstier, and I could just tell that it seemed like it made me thirstier instead of more hydrated. And then the other thing I was asked about, I had an interruption here and was distracted when you were reading some of these lists of things that were a result of being dehydrated. And I wanted to know if blood clots were on those. And all these doctors keep giving people blood thinners. And I don't think I ever say anything to them about drinking more water. Or not, probably some of them do. But... I just keep wondering about these people who have had blood clots and how much water they are drinking, and isn't that a result probably a lot of times about from dehydration?
I did not read that in here. Anybody else reading this same book?
Yes.
But that makes sense, Ruth.
I have some practical... things to say about water, because I've had difficulty drinking water, or I used to have difficulty drinking water. One of the practical things is that I suggested for your sports bottles, I don't know, I don't think it's a 32-ouncer, but what I did was I got a bottle that had 32 ounces, you know, and had it, you know, metered off, and I put a piece it's not masking tape. You use it for bandages. A piece of tape. You know what I mean? A first aid tape.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I put a first aid tape right beside that meter, and I wrote 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. And now I drink 64 ounces a day, which plus whatever else of water, plus whatever else I drink. Okay. Every hour I drink 4 ounces. Now I marked it out, you know. So I have it marked out, and I drink the first bottle before 4 o'clock, and the second bottle before I go to bed. And if I don't drink all of the second bottle, and sometimes I didn't when I get up in the middle of the night and I use the bathroom, I mean I'm not busy. That's where my water bottle goes, you know, at the end of the day where I brush my teeth. I put my water bottle there if I haven't, you know, and guilt takes in, you know. And I just say to myself in the middle of the night, well, I'm not busy. I think I'll just drink. At any rate, I can drink about 4 ounces at a shot. Okay, I don't know how much you can drink, but I can drink 4 ounces. So I just drink 4 ounces once an hour. And so, you know, maybe I miss 1 hour, you know. I mean, I'm carrying it with me. You know, maybe I miss an hour, but I drink a little extra or whatever. The other practical thing is if you want an early symptom of dehydration, very early, if you ever desire something salty, it is your body trying to talk you into drinking water. Okay, so you want to know if you're early dehydration. This is well before you get any of the other kinds of symptoms that are dysfunctional. The second practical thing is it takes 3 days of drinking the water you need before you return to being thirsty. This is particularly true for older people. And I think I did say on the other call, I forget now the percentage, whether it was 80%. It was very, very high of the people that go to the emergency room that are over 60 are dehydrated.
Yeah.
So if you are chronically dehydrated, if you can just please drink water for 3 days, you will suddenly become thirsty because your body is saying, oh, this is real. There's going to be water, you know, and makes room for it. And, Ruth, I wish you'd make a slide for that sewer pipe picture, because what I do is, I mean, to encourage myself to drink water, I think of my bloodstream, and I think of it not having enough water in it. And so all my good Nikon vitamins are being smashed against the toxins that love them and love to inhibit them, you know, love to inhibit the enzymes. And I think of my sewage system, you know, and all you have to do to get a stopped up sewer is to quit pouring water down the toilet, and you too can clog up your sewer system, your system. Now, not that the bloods are, you know, not that your veins and arteries are a sewer line, but that's all you've got. That's all you've got. You don't separate the good from the bad, you know, into two delivery streams. They live together. And why would you want to put sludge, to try to get your heart to pump sludge through, you know, when it could pump water?
Good point. I'm not sure what slide you're talking about, though.
Oh, it's a slide I want you to make. Imagine this slide, okay? This is a peek into your veins and arteries. And what you have are wonderful little happy vitamins and little characters, you know, vitamins and enzymes, you know, and they're swimming in this wonderful stream, right? Like salmon going in a stream, okay? And then they go by, you know, then the water dries up, okay? Ever see you see what the creeks look like when the tide's out, you know, or whatever, you know, when they dry up? And water's moving there, and they're, you know, things are trying to get places, but they can't. You know, it becomes sludgy. And the toxins, you know, get smashed up against the things they like to attract themselves to, your enzymes, you know. Anyway, I just thought it was a real good graphic. So when I don't drink, one of the things I try to encourage myself with is what I'm doing to my bloodstream. Your poor kidneys.
Yeah, I think with all these toxins we're drinking, if we don't have a good system for purifying our water.
Right, and all the stuff you're eating. So maybe you can't eat totally organic, and maybe you can't, you know, live without, you know, meat, and there isn't any grass-fed or whatever. So maybe you can't live without whatever. or you cheat, or you do, you know, do things that are not good for you, and eat things that are not good for you. You know, you need elbow room. Everybody needs elbow room to work.
So that's why we believe that our pineegg water, our water from our waterfall, is so beneficial, because it does help to, you know, increase the alkalinity to help us combat all those toxins and things.
Sure.
Keep the inflammation down. In answer to your question of this doctor, Batman, the one that wrote Your Bodies May Cry for Water, he has many thousands of patients with water and has witnessed complete recovery of those suffering from an assortment of conditions such as high blood pressure,
migraine headaches, arthritis, asthma, back pain, chronic constipation, colitis, heartburn, chronic fatigue syndrome, and even obesity. And overweight problems, yeah, can be treated with water. He doesn't specifically say anything there about the blood clots. But he does say that dehydration causes damage to our cells, which leads to inflammation, swelling, and pain. So, you know, we've got a little block up there for our water for the day, but, you know, we need to, you know, find some way to make sure that we are getting enough water. And we've heard it time and time again, half your weight in water. This says a quart of water for every 50 pounds you weigh. But if you're drinking juice and other things and coffee or tea, every time you have one of those, you want to follow it up with another glass of water, because you, for every one of those, you need to add a glass of water. And doesn't it make sense that we end up just slowly being dehydrated? Ruth has this wonderful picture here of what's coming out of the tap. That's another reason that our, you know, we need to share with people how the Pymag water, our waterfall, cleans that stuff out. Look at what's coming out of people's tap water. And I hear people say time and time again, they think that they're doing good for the environment by not drinking the bottled water, so they've gone back to their tap because they're hearing advertisements saying, well, bottled water is no better than tap and blah, blah, blah. So it's kind of scary when you look at some of the things that are in the water. And especially here where I live, that Bright Pink Pharmaceuticals, believe me, there's tons of every other person down here is on a handful of drugs every day. And I know I'm avoiding drugs, and I know that if I were drinking the tap water, I'd be getting it. So I'm probably preaching to the choir here, but boy, oh boy, do we ever have an obligation to get out there and share, you know, cleaning up our water. We talk about that other water system that makes the people are selling for anywhere from $2,000 to $4,000, and it makes water alkaline, but it doesn't even clean the water. It doesn't, you know, doesn't even filter. This is the our waterfall is definitely the most economical source of water for anybody, and our water bottles are great to be taking with us. Ruth, when you said that at the restaurant the other night, you got thirstier and thirstier. I just wonder what kind of water they were giving you. You know, Dr. Blaylock, a lot of us were putting lemon in our water. If we were getting water at a restaurant, we were asking for lemon because we had heard a rumor that it balanced chlorine or something, and just in case they were giving us chlorinated water. Well, Dr. Blaylock says that we must remove fluoride and aluminum from our water by using some kind of purification process. He said fluoride interacts with aluminum, which we know that they put aluminum in the municipal water to make it pretty and clear. If fluoride interacts with aluminum to form a compound that is very toxic to the small blood vessels of the brain, even in half the concentration seen in normal drinking water. You should not use lemon with your tap water or tea, as this greatly enhances the absorption of aluminum.
Good grief.
Hey, can I tell you guys, if any of you have one of these big, huge, ugly-looking plastic mugs that come from hospitals, I don't know where I got this one, and it doesn't have a hospital name on it. It just says, water is essential for good health and long life. That's on this mug. And it holds 32 ounces, and every ounce is measured. And just recently, I started using this thing, and I have gotten to where I've been drinking four of them a day. Now, 32 ounces, that's a quart, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well,
yep.
See there, Mary Lou, I was just a little ahead of your game.
Good for you.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, if any of you want, for me, it's an easy way to encourage me to drink more water, because I have this thing, and I usually have at least three. three of them down by around 3 o'clock.
Mary Lou, I am reading the book. I guess one of the things that really stood out to me in regards to that chapter, and that is that he goes ahead and he talks about people say, sure, I drink 3 quarts of water a day, but they are still dehydrated. And why? Well, because it's 98 degrees outside, and they're losing more water than usual. He says people often neglect to account for the environment, and although they drink 3 quarts of water a day, they still aren't getting enough. Now, let me explain to why, okay? And he gets a little chart here, and it says that how much water do we get rid of on a daily basis, but just under a normal condition at 68 degrees, okay? And our skin, we basically says here that in normal temperatures, 68 degrees Fahrenheit, that the skin gets rid of 350 millimeters of, these are all in millimeters, by the way, 350. Respiration, we get rid of 350. Urine, we get rid of 1,400 millimeters. Sweat, just in a normal sedentary life, sweat, we get rid of 100, okay? Feces, we get rid of 100. That's a total of 2,300 millimeters of water. And he goes on to say, at room temperature, that a sedentary adult loses about 2,300 millimeters, and that is 2.4 quarts of water a day. In hot weather, the loss is about 3.5 quarts, and with prolonged heavy exercise, the loss is, over, if we exercise quite a bit, we lose over 6,600 millimeters in a day, and that's 7 quarts of water. So even though we're drinking water as much as most of us feel we're required, we're still losing 2,300 millimeters just in normal situations, or 2.4 quarts. Now that means that if we lose that much, and we're only drinking 2.4, all we're doing basically is replacing the water that our body loses over that day. So, and that's the reason that he feels that dehydration is why we need to drink more water. And that is a simple fact that we're losing. Most people don't realize they're losing water just by nothing more than a sedentary life, and you have a more active life or whatever. And he also talks about how arthritis, basically when we don't have water in the proper, that basically our joints become dehydrated and then they get damaged. He also mentioned, I forget what other thing it was, but he talks about how let me see if I can find here real quick, which I thought was important. I can't find it right now. But anyhow, in regards to blood, I know one of the things and I've mentioned this on the program before, and that is that whenever I go to get my blood drawn, the lady that draws it sometimes has some problems, and the first thing she always asks me is, did you drink any water this morning? And I might say yes or no or whatever. She says, well, please, before you come in, when you get up in the morning, at least drink 2 glasses of water because it helps the blood, makes get more blood, I guess, in the veins or whatever. So those are just some things that kind of amazed me when I read this chapter, was realizing how much that we lose on a daily basis and not even understand it. So in most cases, most of us are probably not even putting back into our bodies the amount that we've lost of 2.4 quarts on a daily basis. So that's like when Mary Lou talks about how dehydration creeps up on us, even though we're drinking what we think is a lot of water. Over time, that's how you can become dehydrated.
Okay, thank you, Monty. Very good. Okay.
Mary Lou, it's been said by a nutritionist that the elderly people usually dry up from the inside out. That's what causes them to end up in the hospital and have other issues going on. And you were right about saying that elderly people don't think about it. They have not been trained through the years to think about drinking enough water, and a lot of their health issues are because of that. The picture we have, if we think about shriveling up from the inside out, all our organs and everything, not a good picture.
Nope. And it says the sensation of thirst, like many other physiological processes, becomes less active. And so as a result, many older people are dehydrated without even knowing it. Dehydration is so common among the elderly, it's been identified as one of the most frequent causes
for hospitalization for people over 65. So without the first sensation, they tend not to drink. Oftentimes, too, you know, Joan has a good point. They're drinking 4 hours every, or 4 ounces every hour. It says oftentimes we become so busy at work in our everyday lives that we don't take the time to satisfy the thirst. We put it off till it's more convenient. Ignoring that thirst reflex dulls that sensation. So every time we ignore that, you know, we're dulling it a little bit. And so even relatively young people can and do become chronically dehydrated.
That's why I put on my water bottle that has the marked ounces. That's why I put what time, you know, because I mean, when I look at it and you know, it's half full, I think, well, you know, I've had half of it. Well, except I'm supposed to have half of it before noon, you know, if I'm going to get the minimum, you know, going to get my 2.5 quarts or two, you know. I was just going with 64 ounces plus whatever I drank, you know, because I do drink juicing. I juice, not juices, not the sugar stuff. Yeah. I have seen blood drawn. Well, it's hard to draw blood, okay, when it's thick. It's hard to get it through, you know, the needles. And I have seen blood from people where it's like Karo syrup. You know, and I think, and no wonder you have high blood pressure because your kidneys are supposed to filter that. Okay, these tiny, tiny fibers. You know, the blood has to go. You know, you have to filter the blood to get the water out. You know, to get urine out of it. And in order to do that, when you're pushing sludge, you have to increase the pressure on one side, which means your blood pressure has to go up.
I kind of relate that down to, you know, maybe Ruth's question. I have nothing to back this up or anything that I've ever checked on, but, you know, when we're talking about thick blood and then we talk about, let's say that we've got some plaque in there, that as the plaque, if the blood is thick and it's not moving the way that it should move, let's say that it's thinner and slicker, then possibly that could be one of the reasons that Ruth asked about blood clots, is that it's so thick that it just, when it does come up across some sort of a barrier, let's assume plaque or whatever you want to say, that possibly that could be a good reason.
And actually, clots have to do with fibrin, and you have fibrin. If you've ever seen a black field microscopy of your blood, it's fibers, and they float in the bloodstream. These fibers and they rush to areas where you've got a cut so that you can get a clot, and that's what a clot's made out of, that enough packed up fibrins like haystack, you know, to keep it's, you know, a barrier. And when you take the water out, you know, the fibrin is backed up against, you know, white corpuscles, red corpuscles. I mean, it's all back, you know, sludges.
They would be like sludges and just stick to the walls of your pipe, right?
Yeah, that, and so of course people get constipated. Your body is dying for water. It is taking every drop out of your, not just your sigmoid, the last 6 inches, you know, or whatever, of your colon, which is where, you know, the recycling is done. It is taking it out of the large intestine. It's taking it out of anything it can as soon as there's no need for it, you know, no desperate need. So the whole large intestine is dehydrated because your body's trying to suck water. And
no,
if people would please drink what they know they should for 3 days, that's all you have to do. For 3 days, you can do it. You will become thirsty. You will know that your body will makes a change. For some reason, 3 days is about how long it takes. And it adjusts the functioning with more water back to normal. Old people, if they would just drink it for 3 days, I think that's why they keep them in the hospital for 3 days with IVs. You know, they rehydrate them, and sure enough, they get thirsty.
I think that a reason they're not drinking the water is because the water tastes so bad, and it really doesn't satisfy. And so we have got to get busy and do our job and tell everybody about how to have nice, pure, clean primag water, and that's why we're having a booth at the fair this weekend.
Okay, don't forget to lay that little shower head out there, too, because people, even the people that are, you know, filtering their water, they're not paying any attention to the
if they don't have a filter on their shower, they're basically showering in a gas chamber.
Yeah.
Don't shower in a gas chamber.
What fair is that? Where's a fair?
Vashon. Strawberry Festival.
Oh.
Come on over.
One last thing I wanted to say here, because I know some of us here have been concerned about our blood pressure, and it's this Dr. Batman Galji, the doctor that wrote Your Body's Many Cries for Water, he has a summary of all of his studies on high blood pressure, and salt has shown that in people with normal blood pressure, salt had no effect. In people who have high blood pressure, only about 3% are affected by salt. I'm not saying go out and eat salt, but and it says of these 3%, it is believed that they have high blood pressure because they are chronically dehydrated. Drinking more water can lower blood pressure.
I believe it.
And that's a good place for me to end. So that's probably the most important thing on our daily chart. Make sure we're measuring out that water, the Pime Egg water.
So you're saying it's a quart of water for every 50 pounds you weigh.
That's what they're saying in this book, yes. And I'm I've been saying half my body weight. I just drank 24 ounces while we were on this call. I was thirsty just talking about water.
Maybe thirsty. I'll go get a drink.
Okay. I love it.
Okay. Well, anyway, that's what they say, and I'm going to definitely figure that out and increase it and add a couple more pennies to my little dish, and I should probably write with felt pen the time or the number on them so I know I'm getting them. I know I don't drink it as often as I should. So, Joan, that very good point to kind of remind us that we need to drink in it. Every hour we need to have water.
And it's nothing to drink 4 ounces. Well, what would get me is if I got, 3 or 4 hours behind, I would think, oh, I can't drink that much. I'm way behind, You just drink it as you go.
Yeah. Okay, but we are way past time. And I said I was going to be done on time today. But you guys had a great conversation. I appreciate you all speaking up. Thank you, and we'll be here again tomorrow.
Okay.
Great call, Mary Lou.
Thanks, Mary Lou.
Bye-bye.
Tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.